This podcast is part of the Shareable Podcast Network. Learn more at shareable.fm. You are now listening to the Heroic Council. All right, we're live now. I always remember that from Wayne's World. You don't say the two or one. You guys remember that?
Because it'll come.
Five, four, three. But you didn't say 2 or 1. Oh, you don't say 2 or 1. I'll never forget that. Probably because I saw Wayne's World like 1,000 times when it came.
Oh, man. That's a throwback for sure.
It is.
Wayne's World.
Yeah. So we're a little bit early on the stream because I wanted to give people the opportunity to come and hang out with us a little bit on the early side. So that's what we're doing. So we'll chill for like a minute or two. We got like 3 minutes until we're going to go live. How's everybody doing?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Really good. Very well.
Cool. I feel good today as well.
That's excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And with me, that makes all four of us feeling excellent. So that's pretty cool. I actually just tagged Sarah and Porchelle. I tagged both of you, but Tim, I didn't tag you. I put together a manager for myself as a podcast guest because I just had been thinking about it for a long time. And I'm like really, really, it's pretty happy about it. Although I really want to give it to Tim and let you rip it apart design wise. Cause I don't think I did a very good job because I'm not a designer. It has all the information, so it feels pretty good. Yeah.
How's your body after your workout from yesterday?
Yo, I'm broken. I'm like legit. Like working with a trainer is one of the best things I think I've ever done, but it is full on torture. Like and it's funny because Erica and I are staggered in our days. So it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday sort of thing. So like every other day, one of us is going, oh God, my whole body hurts. So it's kind of hilarious.
So someone can lift the baby every day. It's just not both of you.
Yeah, it's not consistent. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. And it's funny because, I'll work out before like certain days of certain meetings and everything. So I show up and I'm just like trying to like muscle through as like my back is totally killing me. But it's been working. I'm tracking my calories and doing all that stuff too. Mm. So it's like a whole process.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm feeling good though. Relatively good. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, we got 2 minutes left. What else can we talk about before we go like super live?
I have heard of a new app today called Clubhouse. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
Clubhouse. So it's very, very new, but the concept is it is an audio-based social media platform to where you can join rooms of live audio that's happening in different conversations, topics, things like that. And you can raise your hand to be a part of the conversations or something like that. But it's like it's audio only. So you can be doing other stuff, but you're still engaged, you know, with actually live interacting with people. So apparently it's very, very new. I just heard about it today and I downloaded it. And apparently because it is new, it's like you have to they have to give you access to an account. Like I don't know what process, but to kind of control the numbers, I'm sure that's what's happening. But I've heard like Lewis Howes did one and something like that. But you can start and have your own room and just have people join in with those conversations or something. I know very little about it, but that much I know. And it sounds worth checking out for that reason. So
it's just purely audio. Like you don't see any video or anything else.
Right.
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah. That is neat. Yeah. I'll check that out. I wonder if I would I feel like that's something I would get on a kick for like a week, and then I would just get totally distracted by other things, and I might never remember that it exists again.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
I'm telling you.
But it's a cool idea. It's almost like Discord servers, like similar thing. All right, it's 1 o'clock. Porchelle, you're our host. Take it away.
Here we go. You guys, we are excited that you are here. We're talking about the difference between a coach, a mentor, and a consultant. And if you've had any experience with any of those, especially nowadays, it can be a little bit like this, right? Who are we really talking to? What do I really need for my business? That's what we're talking about today. This is the Heroic Council. Jeff, cue up that intro. Let's get hype.
You know that I love that intro. It makes me so happy. Here we go.
This podcast is part of the Shareable Podcast Network. Learn more at shareable.fm.
That intro, man.
It is
every time. Cool.
But you know, like I like my Ecamm, I keep messing it up sometimes. Like, do you see I have my lower third over top of it?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
Little thumbnail.
Also, it was on your screen and Parshall was in the big screen.
Wait, what? And then Tim just dropped off. Everything is going wrong. Like, it is so bad. At the moment, there's Tim.
Back. Okay.
Time for you to drop off. Yeah. So, like, look, we still have some kinks. This is live video, people. Screw it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. And that's what happens in the video. All right, Parshall.
All good.
Do our thing.
So let me bring up why this topic of conversation came up. And mind you, for those who are listening, again, we've already had a conversation about this before in a hangout, which was very good, very in-depth. But this all got sparked because there's a leader in business. His name is Cameron Harold. He's the author of a number of books, like Vivid Vision, Meetings Suck. Like, he's just really a forward-thinking guy, and he's been a part of a lot of brands that we recognize and know. So he shared a video on his social media, and he broke down sort of the differences between a mentor, coach, and consultant. And he really, it was a great video. And if we can, maybe we'll link to it. But he's the one who sparked this conversation. And then I started to think back on my own experiences as well about the differences. And I'll start off by saying what he presented as his definition. And then from there, I would like for us to all jump in with our own definitions and how we see it, because on our hangout, we definitely had some differences with this initial premise. So Cameron defines a coach as someone who uses the Socratic method to ask you a lot of questions to help you arrive at the best decision that you can make for yourself, right? They're not necessarily meant to tell you what to do. They're there to really help and guide you as the, you know, you're the one that has the answer to your solution, you know, to your problem. So if you're able to ask the right questions, you can arrive at that conclusion. So that's what he defined as a coach. A mentor is someone who isn't really about that. They're really there to help you to go faster and farther by providing you their experience. And he introduced a concept which I hadn't known of called a paid mentorship, or being a paid mentor, which I thought was a consultant. But anyway, so there's a paid mentor. And their role is basically to use all of their experience in the form of templates, books, you know, maybe your processes, things that you know, relationships, connections, whatever. You use those things to help someone else go farther, faster, to where they don't have to bring on, you know, additional support or people, you know what I mean? Like, you have that person there and they can help and guide you through jumping over those hurdles, right? So that was what he described as a mentor. Introduce paid mentor in that role because it's your time, it's your processes, you're getting paid for that. Then the consultant is someone who there really isn't that much discussion about, you know, working alongside of you and helping you and guide you. It's like, I'm just going to do it for you. And so the consultant comes in, and whatever the goals are, whatever the objective is, that person is coming in to basically handle that job. So that's what Cameron wrote out and put out there as the differentiator between those three. It was interesting to me for sure, but I want to open up to you all in terms of how you define those three. Do you agree with Cameron? Do you think that, and I know someone here does not, for sure, but do you agree with him? You know, what are your thoughts on how you sort of look at the differences between coach, mentor, consultant? Who wants to take it first?
Anybody want to jump in there first? Because, I mean, obviously, I have a lot to say on the subject.
I'll jump in as my, like, super, I don't know what I'm talking about opinion. I guess, like, that I've never heard it organized in the way that Parshall just organized it, but that's a really interesting way. Because I always kind of viewed a mentor as somebody who is unpaid, almost donating their time to somebody in a particular group, or that they're empathetic to and they want to see succeed. Coach, I just assumed, was a kind of like a paid mentor, more or less, like you're paying somebody to mentor you. And then consultant is paid like the coach, but the consultant is working on a very specific set of objectives for their client, where the coach has is a little bit more broad. Like, let's say it's a business coach, they're going to be focusing on helping like the their client succeed in a variety of areas in their business, where the consultant might be like, I need your help with this, this, and this.
Mm. Absolutely. And I want to point out too that I mentioned, of course, he mentioned paid mentors, but there are free mentors as well. Mm-hmm. People who will give that, which then presents like, you know, is it really a mentor? Is it a coach? You know, starts to kind of go a little bit deeper from there. But Sarah, what would you say?
Yeah, I think I agree with what Tim said for sure. I think the big thing with a coach is it's a lot more than just asking questions. So I'm a coach. I do a lot more than just asking questions. I feel as if I'm also a guide for people. So I'm asking them questions, but I'm also making sure that they have a path to walk and to go on so that they can fulfill what they're trying to accomplish. So I think it's kind of, I think of it more of like a basketball coach than just a coach who's not so engaged. I feel like I'm very engaged with clients and making sure that they are knowing what path they're on as well. So greater than just asking questions, right? I think a mentor is certainly someone who has been there before. They're guiding from a sideline more, and they're there to support someone to say, hey, I've been where you are. Maybe that was a few years ago, or maybe I'm just a little further ahead than where you are right now. So I think that's where the mentor comes into play. I think a consultant can serve for someone where businesses can get advice. I don't necessarily think that they're the doer. I know Cameron says that. I think oftentimes businesses are hiring consultants to give them a plan, not necessarily to implement that plan.
Interesting. And I love to, I mean, you brought up the coaching from a sports perspective, which I then take in terms of, because I coach sports as well. And so when I coached, it wasn't just, you know, like, in other words, the difference between being in the stands, being the coach, and being the player. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's how I start to kind of see, starting with that concept of the coach, because as a coach, you know, I was on the bus with the players, you know what I mean? I'm traveling with the players, I'm staying up late, I'm helping with this and that, like, their success is part of my success to an extent. And the involvement that I have in terms of my time and energy and resources is also at a certain level at a coach versus, let's say, a mentor, someone who shows up to the game and they just give you tips and help you out or whatever, you know what I mean? So
I think that's a great way to think about it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So all, and I know Jeff actually went a little bit deeper into analyzing these in terms of, like, you know, what is someone to, you know, what are the expectations? What's the end result? What are the deliverables? What is the time involved? You know, am I paying for this? Like, all those factors then start to also determine what kind of role are we talking about here? Is this a mentor? Is it a coach? Is it a consultant? So Jeff, I know you, you have plenty of say, so I want to give it to you now.
Cool. I'll try not to monopolize the episode on this, but when we had this conversation, so real quick, Parshel, you brought this up to me. You were like, this is a really interesting video. I can't remember what we were on. We were just talking about it, and you sent it over and I was so interested to watch it, and I watched it and I legitimately disagreed with like every single thing that this dude said on the video. I appreciated the premise, but I thought literally everything he said was wrong. And that's not to dismiss like who this guy is. I don't know a thing about him other than what you've told me. It sounds like he's very accomplished, very smart, etc. But all of his definitions to me were completely nonsensical. So I'll start real quick with coach, then I'll talk consultant, then mentor. The mentor is the one that I have the least issue with what he said, but I still take issue with it. So first, coach. If you Google coach, outside of handbags, the first thing you're going to see are like basketball coaches, football coaches, sports coaches, right? Can you imagine a boxing coach who, when your boxer comes back at the end of the round, they just got clobbered in the face a couple times, you sit back down there, you're exhausted from 3 minutes of a round with another boxer, and they say, what do you think you could have done differently to not get punched in the face? Like, that's not a coach. That's not at any, in any possible way, a coach from anybody's understanding of what a coach is. So to rely, and I want to actually point out, because I have his exact quote about this, what he said about coaches was, he said the coach is never supposed to give you a system. He literally said never supposed to give you a system. Meanwhile, if you look at the textbook, and I hate doing this, like Webster's dictionary defines this, but if you look at the dictionary definition, it is a verb to give instruction or advice in the capacity of a coach, instruct. It is literally antithetical to the definition of the word. So coach, I think he gets completely wrong. Yes, you can ask questions as like part of your method of coaching. But if somebody hires a coach and they expect that this person is going to make them better and all that person does is ask questions, I can guarantee that coach is going to be very hungry for work because that is not going to provide enough value for people. So that's first thing. Consultant. This, I don't necessarily blame Cameron for this because I think this is entirely on Deloitte and Accenture and like IBM and EY. They turned consult into a different thing than what it is. Again, if you consult Webster's dictionary, consult is to seek advice and counsel from. Like you go to somebody, you consult them for their advice and their information. It is literally just about asking for expertise and advice. It's not about asking them to do something. So I think there's like a missing piece there. Consulting really should be you come in and you provide counsel and advice and insight as a function of your expertise. So I think consultant, he's all wrong. And I think the industry in general has turned consulting into a word that it doesn't actually represent what it should be. And then finally, mentor. For me, I just personally don't think paid mentorship is a thing. Like I refuse to acknowledge the existence of such a concept because to me, mentorship is an act of generosity. It's an act of I see you and I want to help you and I'm going to dedicate my time to you in service of your growth. I'm going to tell you everything I know from my experience, which is I think the one place where me and Cameron agreed was that it's about like you've been there before and you're sharing it, your expertise and information. But I think that the function of it is that it's a gift. You're giving this person your time. And then there's all these other things about like who controls the relationship. Like you're accountable to a coach and you're accountable to a mentor, but in very different ways. And a consultant is really accountable to the client versus the other way around, right? So there's all these different layers of accountability. But I think functionally, like when I watched that video and I tried to be really charitable, I watched it like two or three times. I was like, legitimately, every single definition I believe is wrong from what he said.
But what about the concept? So if we start to then take it a little bit further beyond someone who's giving advice and strategy and being hired to consult, where does that or what is that title considered then if you're providing actual services and their deliverables and, you know, like what how would you define that?
Yeah. Can I start with this one? Just because I I'll quickly turn it over. So I think that is actually the one that does not need a word. And primarily because the people that you hire to do work actually have titles already. They already have things, right? So like if I'm going to hire Tim to do video work or user experience work, I'm hiring a user experience expert or I'm hiring a videographer or like they already have names. Like I'm hiring Sarah, I'm hiring a productivity coach, right? But if I wanted her to do stuff, and like actually come in and fix things, I might be hiring her as a project manager, right? Like there are already titles for that stuff. I think the existence of coach, consultant, mentor, maybe advisor, like those sorts of things, they speak to specifically what the role is about and it might be focused on a thing. But if it's doing the thing, that doer already has a title. That's my perspective on it.
Jeff, that's a really good point because it's so interesting you say that those are functions, right? Yep. And so they have a title naturally. What's interesting about coaches, mentors, consultants is there is not a standard for this. You don't have to go to school for this. There isn't a degree for this. There isn't a governing body that says now you're approved to be this. There are organizations, but you can be a coach, mentor, consultant without those specific parameters. Whereas if you are a licensed therapist, for example, you need to have gone through the training to get your license. And I think that's where things have kind of gotten vague in this world is that it's sort of the Wild West still. And that's why it hasn't been defined as naturally.
And you bring up a good point there too, of course, introducing the thought of a therapist. I have seen and know of some coaches and consultants, so to speak, who put in their email or on their onboarding or in their contract even, I am not a therapist, you know, and they have to put that in there to, you know, create a boundary because there does become a point where I think some coaches do end up talking about life and things of that nature. And it starts to, you know, you get closer to this boundary where it's like, okay, should we be talking about this? Are you trained, you know, as the person trained to handle this level of conversation, when we start talking about life and, you know, psychology and all that kind of stuff. So What do you guys think about that? Like, how do you say, okay, now we're starting to go into territory that might be a little bit, you know, troublesome, you know, because there's so many securities involved with that and insurances even on that end, to be a licensed person to give that level of instruction to someone or advice or whatever it is that they're doing. So what do you guys think? At what point does it start to become where this is actually more of a therapist role, or you should seek out a therapist?
So I actually do have it in my contract with clients. And I also, I heard a great definition that is a therapist is really dealing with your past, and it's essentially trying to solve a problem to help you overcome something from your past. Whereas a coach, mentor is someone who's trying to help you with your future, trying to propel you forward. So they're taking you from where you are to where you're trying to be and helping you along that path. So I think that's a great and pretty clean definition.
Can I, Sarah, I'm sorry. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, just purely because like our past influences our behaviors, which are like present, and they're going to affect our stuff in the present. So like, although like a therapist might, like you're definitely diving into like traumas and stuff that may have influenced your current behaviors and that may be affecting everything from your relationships to your business and stuff like that. You're more like the goal, I think, typically is to like modify your behaviors. You know what I mean? So like you have unhealthy patterns of behavior and you want to modify those because those are negatively impacting your future and stuff, which honestly, I don't really think is that difficult, different than like something a mentor or a mentor or a coach might do, because like we talk about a lot of things in like our meetings, like both on the show and in our meetings off camera. You know what I mean? Like we have different patterns of behavior, and how do we modify those or adjust those to like improve our efficiency and overall like quality of life for ourselves and our businesses. So I think it's a lot blurrier than I think the lines between mentor, coach, and possibly consultant are a little bit more blurrier when you're talking about like stuff like therapy. I think those things all intersect. And I know I know there are like, I'm actually talking to somebody, not for myself, but I'm like consulting with somebody on some web stuff right now who kind of works in that space. And because they work in kind of a therapy space, but their therapy is specifically around business. So they have aspects of both like focusing specifically on these behaviors that you have that may have come from past traumas that affect your performance in business.
Hmm.
That's super interesting. I didn't even know that existed. I have had clients in the past like call me like their business therapist or like their business shrink or something like that. And like I always kind of like laughed it off. I never really thought about the potential like actual implications of someone relating to me that way. But I think, Tim, you raise a good point. And you know, I think we've all been in situations, you know, Parshel, you brought up like talking about life and things like that. Like when we talk about business, like we're always talking about, you know, like Parshel, when we were talking about your brand, for instance, like we got so deep into like why that was important to you. And that went back to like, you brought up some stuff from your childhood. And it's mm-hmm. like, is this a therapy session or are we just really getting to the root of why your brand is the way it is and why it's important to you? And it's like that line is so blurry. To me, I would kind of put in there that I think one of the real distinctions is about the type of change we're trying to make in someone or the kind of change that we're actually addressing, right? So I think if you're addressing like trauma, for instance, or somebody is paying you to alleviate a certain emotional suffering of some sort or an emotional barrier, mental health issue, obviously therapist. But that like the part where it becomes blurry is like, well, what if your issue is in business, you have a hard time motivating yourself because of some past trauma or whatever it is, and you're trying to address and coach it in the present. How do you deal with that in a way where it's like respecting the fact that you're like not a therapist and you can't talk about like how, you know, when your parents told you weren't good enough at a thing, that's nonsense, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's such a tricky space to be in, but you're really addressing somebody's present state and their future actions, but not really. So this is kind of, I think, where I do fall in the camp of like therapist is more past based than many of the other distinctions. But yeah, it gets so blurry. Like now, as even I'm talking out loud, I find myself kind of getting lost in the sauce.
Yeah. I've also heard that the therapist can help solve a real problem. Like they're trying to get you from a problem to a point that's sort of a baseline that is comfortable and healthy, where a coach, mentor, consultant is saying, oh, you're at a baseline, let's propel you even further.
But what about when that to propel you further requires digging deeper into the past? I think that's where
yeah.
it be, right?
It, yeah, for sure.
I think it depends on how you dig yeah. into it. To me, it's like, are we going to sit here and need tissues and, you know, we need to go get you a bear and stuff like that, you know, whatever those tools are. Then it's like, yeah. okay, now it's getting a little bit more of a therapist role when it comes to that. And I think you do, like you said, when you talk about a brand, you do have to go into the past, understand where you're going, but how deep do you go into that? And what is your awareness of your story as well? If I tell my story to help my brand and I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know, like my heart is racing and I'm sweating because I'm just so caught up in that, then that's like indicating you might need to deal with some other stuff, you know, seek out some help. You know, I think it depends once you start to dig in, you know, with someone, how deep you go and how they respond, you know, how they process.
Hold on. I feel like I need to push back on the, not specifically what Parshall said, but like, I think like, our conception of what therapy is has changed a lot just in the last 15 years. Like, cognitive-based therapy has been around for a while, but in cognitive-based therapy, it's not even necessary to go into your past to specifically affect your behavior, right? And how you respond to certain stimuli. So like even saying that therapy is about the past, like, or that's what the therapist is dealing with is not necessarily accurate depending on what style of therapy that you're engaging in, number one.
Fair.
Also, like, obviously, a business mentor or coach or consultant isn't going to be qualified to deal with trauma, right? Like that's not what their training is. Nevertheless, they're going to have to interact with it because everybody to some extent has some trauma. And at the end of the day, we're all going to have to interact with it. And your client, like, I'm going to say like 80 to 90% of your clients are going to be having these reoccurring patterns of behavior that the coach is going to have to help manage. That's probably coming from a place of trauma. So like how they interact with it and deal with it might be different, but at the same time, both groups of people are dealing with behaviors and they both need to sometimes dip into the same tool set in order to address those things.
I think that's actually a really good point. And as you were saying that, I was actually thinking about tools, right? I think that actually is one of the other distinctions, right? Like when therapists these days have some pretty remarkable tools to be able to deal with all sorts of different types of trauma, past, present, and future looking behavior. And I think most coaches and consultants aren't going to have access to those same sort of tools, whether they're actual like physical tools to be used to like, you know, monitor, body signals and things like that, but also just like actual tools of conversation and interacting with you know, different patterns of thought. So I think that's another piece that you're right. That's probably where the blurry line is that there's a handful of tools that you're going to be able to see coaches use, consultants use, as well as therapists use. But then there's this whole set of tools that are probably based on training, completely hidden from view of the coach. And I think that's when you run into those patterns where you're addressing, you know, potential sticky areas or traumas, where that's where like the coach consult kind of taps out. You know, Parshall, you brought up like the, you know, are we crying? Do we need to sit on the couch, have a bear, whatever? Like there are some instances at work where like people get like really emotional, they get really heated. Like you deal with conflict, you're mm-hmm. going in there trying to manage a conflict and one or more of the parties involved might be emotionally triggered by something that is not what happened at work, but something that's happened throughout their lifetime. And it does create a real challenge, whether you're a coach, consultant, you know, just a manager or whatever it might be, to try and deal with those and distinguish between where you're being coach or where you're being therapist.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important though. Like we have a real responsibility to know how far we can go and when it's appropriate to say it's time to talk with someone else. Parshall, you used to work with youth. I have a lot of experience working with youth and I always knew when it was time to get someone else involved. Because you kind of know in your gut, like this person needs more help than I'm capable or I'm qualified to give them. And I think that that's a really thing that coaches, mentors, consultants have to be mindful of is not overstepping those boundaries, ensuring the safety of their client at some point. And like I said, I always knew working with youth when that was, you know, it hits you right in your heart and you're like, this child needs more help than I'm capable of giving them.
Can I ask a question? So I'm assuming I could be wrong about this, but I'm assuming most of you have had a mentor, maybe a business coach, And maybe hired somebody as a consultant before. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So even in those categories, I'm assuming like you wouldn't necessarily use the same mentor for the same problem or the same things, right? Like there are probably, you probably had multiple mentors who have addressed different things in your life. And same with like a consultant or a coach, maybe less so the consultant, but in the coach, you're like, I like this coach. I like to work with this coach for these reasons. And I like to work with this coach for other reasons. Cause you know, people are complex and also like not everybody is going to respond to the same coach the same way. On a broader spectrum, do you think that like therapist, coach, mentor, and consultant, you might pick different people and like they, I don't know the best way to ask for it. Like they all kind of operate in the same world, in the same space, but you would go to different ones for different specific niche things, if that makes sense.
I think what you're touching on is expectations, right? Like what are your expectations when you talk to a mentor or when you go and find yourself a coach or when you go and find your therapist? And I think it's clearer actually from that perspective, Tim, when you look at it from like, if I was going to look for a therapist or I was going to look for a coach, what would my expectations be? What's the problem that I'm dealing with that I would expect them to help solve? I think it's more difficult on the other, like I'm a coach, but I'm not your therapist. That's where I think it gets a little stickier for people is to try and draw those lines. Whereas I think when you're picking your kind of tool, your person to work with, it's a lot clearer. And I think the lines are more clearly defined about why you would seek somebody out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause go for it. No, I'm done. Go for it.
I was going to ask if you had an experience. That's what I want to talk about now. Is like, if any of us had an experience where maybe expectations weren't met, or maybe where your expectations were exceeded. I know for me, when I got into business and was really serious about doing it, I started seeking out coaches. And at the time, Tony Robbins was like the only kind of coach that I knew of at that point in time. So through his program, I hired a coach. And it was like agonizing to me because I felt like I was wasting money because this guy was just asking me questions and like, you know, I was expecting someone who had been down the business road, you know, could help me and guide me in terms of what I need to do next. But when we would get on our calls, it was like, why are you asking me to write down like, you know, things about my life or think about these challenges? I'm like, that's not what I need. I need somebody to tell me what to do. And I didn't have that understanding at the time, you know, what I was really needing or asking for. So that experience for me kind of, I think in my world created somewhat of a resistance from seeking out coaches and stuff. I said, well, forget that. I'm just going to figure it out because I already wasted money doing that. So now I have a different perspective on it, of course, but at the time it was frustrating. So I'm curious, either on a good or bad side, when it comes to coaching or mentors or consultants, what your experiences have been.
I've had the experience where my needs kind of changed. Like when I started working with somebody, it was the value that I got out of them was like transformative, you know what I mean? And then I got to a certain point where I kept working with them and it seemed like I wasn't really getting, like there was nothing else kind of to add from the specific person. It didn't mean that I didn't have stuff that I needed to work on and grow with or improve. It was just like, I reached a point with this particular person who did this particular thing. And now I needed to find something else who can help me in these other areas at this point, if that makes sense. Or that mentor may have changed its process. That mentor or consultant may have changed their processes and their processes don't really work for you anymore.
Right. It's like at some point it became not a fit anymore and you weren't, yep. And expectations weren't being met.
Okay. Yeah.
I've also worked with a coach who had a particular program. So it was essentially a curriculum. And then we met and we talked about things every week, but there was a start and an end to that. So when I signed up to work with her, it was a defined amount of time. And also these are the things that we're going to cover. So it was very clear to me what I was going to get out of this relationship. I ended up getting far more out of it than I ever would have imagined. And it was an amazing experience. Now I work with another coach, and it's not so much because I didn't enjoy the experience with the one. It was just that our time had ended and it was ready for another phase. So I think it's it can be an ongoing relationship that lasts for many, many years, or it can be something that is more short-lived, depending on how that coach operates.
Are those of you that that do consulting or coaching, are you at all like, does it ever stress you out to think like, oh, what if I can't move the needle for these people? You know, no. Okay.
Never. Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying like coaching is like anybody that's a coach is going to feel this way. I'm saying me as a coach, I feel this way. I literally never interact with any of the people that I'm coaching and think I can't help this person. And the reason why is because if I can't help them, I'm literally going to say to them, I cannot help you. Right. So I will never BS somebody that I'm working with. If I don't, like, if somebody came to me and they were like, I'm having some trouble in my accounting and I don't know how to categorize my expenses and I'm looking to build like a better balance sheet that better reflects my company's finances, I would be like, good for you. Let me introduce you to my accountant. Like, I'm not about to jump into a space that I'm not comfortable, but if somebody comes to me and they're like, look, I'm trying to be a better leader for my team, I'm like, let's talk about it. Hmm. And I know that if they come to me and they provide me with a problem that I have a solution to, I'm going to be able to provide them with a solution that will move the needle for them in some way. I may not be able, I'm not a miracle worker, so I'm not going to fix everybody's problems, but I do feel like my role as a coach means that I have to be confident that if they have the problem that I provide coaching for, that I can fix that problem or at least make it better. Now I realize, again, it's not everybody. I'm a particularly confident, borderline cocky person. So that's me, but I almost never have that underlying fear. Now, as a service provider, like a strategist, an implementer, I have had kind of gut feelings of like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. But again, I think the minute that I decided to start sharing that with the client, hey, I don't know if this is going to work, all that fear kind of, you know, evaporated.
I think that's too why a lot of coaches do the discovery call process, is to determine if the client is a good fit for them. I talked to somebody last week and I said, you know, what are your challenges and what do you face? And he goes, well, I'm this and this and this, and I've got all these systems. And I said, well, like, do you need me? And he was like, no, I just wanted to have a great conversation with you. And it was lovely. But I really, I thought this person doesn't need me, right? He is so advanced in his productivity systems. And we ended up just having fun on the call. But I think that's why a lot of coaches have that discovery call process in place, because not everyone is a good fit. For me, I also want to make sure that people are going to do some of the work and devote enough time to the process. If you're just going to show up for our calls but never implement anything that we've talked about, you're probably not going to see a transformation. And I just don't want that for you. So people that are lacking motivation or they're not willing to put in the work, then, you know, on that discovery call, I might say, yeah, you know, I just don't think that you're the best fit for me as your coach. I'm looking for people that are a little more, you know, revved up, go-getters, high energy, and wanting to propel forward. So part of it is the energy that they're bringing to it is going to help them be more successful. So I, like Jeff, if they're not going to transform, you know, I'm not going to want to work with them, but I really do want them to. That's why I'm doing this, to help people have a transformation.
Yeah, 100%.
That's awesome. And as you're talking, Sarah, I start to think of the concept of, you know, for whether I'm receiving the help of mentors, coaches, or consultants, or I am providing, you know, these services as a mentor, coach, or consultant, or implementer, or whatever, it's almost like you're picking your own team. Like, I kind of go back to sports, you know, or if I think of it like if I'm a sports team, right, where the Parshall Dragons, you know, NBA team or something like that. I don't know why those names came in. Anyway, Parshall Dragons, right? Who am I picking to run my organization? You know what I mean? To be the person that's going to strategize on this or that, you know, identify the weaknesses that we have. All right, this is going to be my player. You know, this is who I want to pick because I know that we can kill it together. So when you talk about discovery processes on both ends, like, we should be doing that to match up. Who do I want on my team? And so with that perspective, it's like, you know, I want LeBron. I want, you know, I want Kyrie. I want, you know, old school. I want Michael Jordan. You know, I want all these people on my team. I want Phil Jackson coaching. You know what I mean? I want this person assisting him. And then I want somebody from over here to be like strategizing from the top box what we should be, you know, all of those pieces you can create yourself depending on how successful you want your organization, your life, what have you to be on both ends. You know, who I'm bringing on the team to represent you know, my legacy and what I'm doing with my work, as well as who's on board to provide that and enable us to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I totally dig that perspective. But as you were saying it, I I'm a big basketball fan. I was thinking about all those personalities on a team, and I was like, that's going to crash and burn. because of the personalities there. And then I thought about, you know, the coach for those players, right? So then I started thinking about, like, Phil Jackson as a coach is a very particular personality. And it made me think about one of my best friends, huge, like, he played a lot of soccer in high school and college and everything like that. And he was like, his favorite type of coach is the one that, like, gets up in his face and is, like, screaming at him that, like, he messed up that play. He needs to do it. Like, for him, that worked. For me, that's like an immediate shutdown. I'm like, nobody talks to me that way. I need a coach that's supportive, a coach that sees the best in me, a coach that's going to find the areas where I'm weak and help me develop in the way that I want to develop, right? So, like, everybody has a different sort of coach or personality type they're going to work with. So, for instance, you had asked a question before about, you know, the different people you've worked with. So I've had the experience of a mentor, a coach, and a consultant. The mentor was a free mentor and totally let me down. He was like, oh, I'm going to take you on as my mentee. And then he just completely dropped the ball in every possible way, never really mentored me at all. So completely let down. And I already have a hard time asking for help. So that didn't help. So my coach, I took on my coach, and specifically his style of coaching was immediately like antithetical to the type of coach I work with. But I chose to work with him specifically for that reason, to build up my own resilience of working with that personality type. So he was an amazing coach, but working with his personality type was part of the challenge of why I picked him, was because he was gruff and in your face and direct and, like, all these things that turned me off. And I was like, you gotta learn to work through this, right? And then as consultants, I remember when I had my agency, I hired this agency coach, and his whole thing was he came in, like, he didn't do anything, like, do anything. I mean that in the best possible way. He came in, he analyzed what I was doing, and he gave me a roadmap. And it was exactly what I needed. And I wound up selling my company a year and a half after that. So I had a really great experience with my consultant, really great experience with my coach, terrible experience with my mentor. But out of all of that, I think to your point that that you were making before about the discovery process coming out of Sarah's comment, is we have to be really careful and selective about who we choose and why, because we have to understand what we need and how we operate best. And if we're going to choose someone outside of how we operate best, it better be deliberate.
Well, and it's another reason for that discovery call, because you want to sync up with this person. You want to maybe like this person. Or to Jeff's point, maybe you don't want to like this person as much and you're taking it on as a challenge. I think going into that is really important to define, you know, what do I want to get out of this? What kind of person do I want to work with? What do I need right now? It's having some self-awareness around that before you hire this person, I think, is really important. You know, you're going to spend a lot of time, hopefully, if they don't, you know, fail out on you, Jeff. Hopefully they're going to spend a lot of time with you. And it's important that you feel something towards this person. I like them. I get good energy off of them. They make sense to me. It feels like they're talking to me when they do their podcast or whatever it is. I think that's really important to have a connection in some way.
100% agree.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm curious about what you guys think. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
No, go for it.
Go, Tim, I want to hear what you have to say, man.
And just back to, like, Jeff saying, like, for instance, he picked this mentor because he knew he had trouble with those personalities and he wanted to be able to, like, address that side of him. Like, self-awareness is really important. Like, you have to know what your challenges are. You have to know, like how you deal with things in particular. Like, for instance, like, it may not have always been a good time for Jeff to work with that particular coach who was really gruff and direct, right? But at that particular moment, Jeff felt confident that this was a good opportunity to tackle how challenging he found those personalities in particular. And that goes to, like, before, like I said, like, I had a coach who was working with me, and I found the experience really, really effective, at least for the first several years that I was working with them. And then at some point it's not so much that, like, they weren't good doing anymore. It was like, I knew how to deal with the challenges that they could help me work at that point. And now I'm like, I needed to figure out, like, what the next issues were in particular. And so knowing yourself and self-awareness is going to be a big part in picking the consultants that you want. Like, it's not all on the consultants to help you pick that. I mean, maybe there's a consultant that can help you figure out who you are. I don't know.
Probably there is one of those.
Yeah,
sure. The point that you brought up just made me think of, like, if you're working with like a personal trainer, like you may have a personal trainer that can help you lose weight, but they may not be able to help you win, you know, a weightlifting competition or like a bodybuilding competition, right? You may need a different trainer, but like you can't work with the bodybuilding competition coach until you've gone through the, like the first level of trainer. So it's important, I think, to your point, to recognize what a particular coach's strength is. And then, you know, all of those other factors of self-awareness.
Absolutely. Now, I'm curious, Jeff, you mentioned having a really great experience with a coach who helped you with your agency and helped you to sell it. I don't know if that's what you would consider to be maybe your best coaching experience in terms of outcome and things that you wanted to see happen. But that's the question I wanted to bring up next is, like, what's been your best experience working with specifically? I'm going to go with a coach because I was like, which one should I pick? Mm-hmm. What's been your best experience that you guys can recall working with a coach?
I can start if you'd like. There was the business coach and the business consultant. The business consultant, that was like it was a project basically. He came in, he assessed my business, he built out a balance sheet. Like, I didn't continue paying him. It wasn't an ongoing relationship. I consulted him to come in, answer a question, and then leave. And it was very, very helpful. And he actually made some connections for me later on. The coach was an ongoing thing. And for me, it wasn't super long lived. It was maybe we worked together for about a year. And again, when I met this guy, I was like, yo, he annoys the hell out of me. Personality type is like the kind that like just it's like it just drives me up the wall. I hate being talked to like this. I should definitely work with this guy because it triggers me and because I want to work through that. And I was pleasantly surprised because I think the other thing is that my initial impression of him wasn't all that there was to him. So as I got to know him, I saw that there was another side of him. He actually had a softer side. He had a more encouraging side. He had an inquisitive side. He also had a side where he was like angry and hot tempered. So like there was a lot of things there, but it gave me a greater appreciation for, you know, kind of digging into people a little bit more and giving them a shot, as well as, again, it really helped me build the resilience for that personality type. I don't get as triggered as easily now. And I remember we actually had a major disagreement and he spoke to me in a way that like normally, like pre this experience, Jeff, I would have like flown off the handle at this guy. Like I would have like lost it. It would have been like a major screaming match. It would have been a thing. And I just was like, you know what? You're right. Let me take some time and go think about that and I'll come back and we'll talk about it. And like our relationship after that was better, but like he like put it to me and it was like one of those things where like he kind of like gave me like almost like an ultimatum and like was like real kind of like, you know, virtually in my face. And it honestly was like one of the ways that I think I've progressed as a person in dealing with multiple different types of personalities, sometimes that are outside of my comfort zone. And then when I look back on the body of coaching that he had provided for me, I still have about 10, 15 different things that I'll quote him on. I'll go back to him on. Like, you know, he's the one that taught me that instead of reading a book, I could process a book. Like, you don't have to read a book cover to cover. You could literally go through it in any order. You can read part of it and put it down. You can break the spine of a book. You can write in it. And I was like, what are you doing? All throughout school, they told me to do like a totally different thing. And he's like, so do whatever you want. You're a grown up. Like go through the book how you want to go through it. If you get bored of it, put it down. And I was like, sacrilege. But this changed my life the way he taught me this stuff, right? There's a handful of other stuff. I actually literally passed on something that he said to me to one of my coaching clients, like in a true full circle experience. I was coaching one of my clients earlier this week and she was like going too fast for her own good, a problem I've run into many times. And I said to her, slow down so that you can use your speed. That's something he said to me because I would typically go too fast. And if I just stopped at the beginning and slowed down a bit and thought about where I was going, mapped out my plan, mapped out my strategy, I've had way more success ever since I started doing that. And it was the simple way that he put that to me that really stuck in my head. So when I catch myself going too fast, I go, slow down so you can use your speed. Slow down so you can use your speed. And I have an entire notebook that's just from like my year of working with him. And those things really have shaped a lot of how I run my business now and how I coach my clients. Even though in the beginning, my initial impression of him was like, all I'm going to get from this is, learning how to deal with difficult personalities.
Love it. Mm. Love it. I mean, it's true. I think that's really powerful. And those are some really good tips too, that you said that you can like always quote him from and always remember. That's awesome. I know for me, when I started in entrepreneurship, I was lucky to hear about the concept of a business coach, considering I didn't know anything about it. And my experience with a coach, she was an older woman. We met kind of in the like the back part of her house when she had like a setup in there. And we would get there and we'd talk about my business. And she challenged me. She said, you need to pick one thing. When I started my business, I was like doing logos and I could do websites and flyers and I could do video and photography. And I just was like, hey, I can do all these things for anybody who needs it 24/7. I'm just there. I'm going to do all of it. And she said, no, like in terms of a strategy, she's like, you need to niche down. She's like, you're too all over the place, niche down. And selecting video among those and her process of helping me to understand that and to make that distinction for myself has been, to this day, I always remember the conversation and like sitting there and like what it felt to accept that and say, okay, well, I guess I got to put some of this other stuff aside and just focus on one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the rest is history. So that's my experience. Tim and Sarah, what would you guys say has been your a really good, memorable or a great coaching experience for you?
I can go. I've had a few. So one was, and I'll shout her out because she's amazing. Her name is Jenna Viviano. She is a career coach. I started working with her and I loved what I did. I didn't even know if I wanted to do anything different. I just thought, look, let me just see, you know? And so I worked with her and it was so interesting. And I said, well, I have this idea. And she goes, well, what is it? And I was like, oh, it's kind of silly, but like, what if I was a productivity coach? And she's like, tell me more, tell me more. And the conversations just blossomed out of that. And so I think it was almost like she gave me permission to explore it and permission to say, it's okay if you have something inside of you to like lean into that and figure out what that is. Like, why do you keep thinking about this thing? Why is this kind of calling for you? And it was interesting because I almost didn't mention it to her. Mm. And here we are and I have this business and it's been amazing. But it's like, I think for me as a girl from the Midwest and a kid who followed rules and whose parents taught them to, you know, good kids follow the rules. And I got my straight A's and I was always a rule follower. And it was almost as if thinking outside the box was like, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And so it was really empowering. And like, I owe her so much to say, you don't have to follow the rules. You don't have to do what everyone wants for you or what you think you're supposed to be doing. Like, explore that. And I think I needed permission to do that. My other amazing experience has been with Jeff and just pushing, allowing me to be present and be having a seat at the table. I was quoted in an article recently and I talked about Jeff in that article of saying like, I don't know why I felt like I needed permission to be at the table, but Jeff and Tim both have been with me a lot through this process. And it's like, you deserve to be here. And I think sometimes when you've been in a corporate environment or you've been in a workplace with a team, your team helps you make decisions. And so when you say kind of as a group, like this is the decision we've made as a team, when you're a solo entrepreneur, all of a sudden you are alone making these decisions. So it is so helpful to have just someone else, a friend, a coach, just say to you, yeah, it's good enough. It's great. Or like you're doing the right thing. I had something with Tim and Jeff and I said, guys, I don't even know if this is a good idea. And they were like, it's a great idea. And now I just launched that on my, you know, website last week. So I think just having the support of someone to say, yeah, go for it is huge, especially if you're a solopreneur.
I love that. Big up to Jeff too, because Jeff's amazing.
Yeah.
amazing coach. It's got like this superhero plan he's got. Awesome.
Yeah. And I just had to like add on to that, like that piece where Sarah said like the coach that she was working with, she's like, oh, I don't know about this idea, but like and she got her to open up about it and expand on it, like a really big part of the creative process, you know what I mean? Because like a lot of times the initial idea seems really bad, like just like stupid, like not a better word for it, it just feels stupid. And then and then like, I think in a lot of situations and organizations, there's like, when somebody says it, like there's an immediate, like, no, that's dumb from the crowd, or like, that's what you're kind of almost expecting. But like a good, healthy creative team or creative process is one where like you can say that bad idea and start playing with it and like, you know, like massaging it into something that actually makes sense. And I wouldn't be surprised if like a lot of the, your favorite like television shows or brands or something like that kind of like created these concepts in like, they blossomed in that same way. And also to like add on to something Sarah said, as far as like how my kind of situation kind of expanded, I wouldn't say there was like one particular like person or coach, like they all kind of led to another. Like for instance, in college, I had this one professor and I had a certain perspective about my academic potential and it was relatively low. And he pointed out for me, like almost accidentally, these things that I was good at, which changed my perspective of myself and led me to go down a different path, a completely different path than I probably would have went to. You know what I mean? And then from there I had like some post-college experiences. And at some point I ended up picking up like a therapist who helped me challenge like some additional perspectives I had on myself and what my potential were and acknowledge like some different roadblocks that I had. And then I was able to get connected with, you know, like people like Jeff. Like when I started working with Jeff, initially we didn't have like a, you know, I wouldn't necessarily go to Jeff specifically because like I didn't think I was ready to chat with him about these things or saw like where the value was, but like I could listen and absorb things from osmosis and then see where those values took place. And, you know, like now I work with Jeff and Sarah, like Sarah said, like on a super regular basis, and I'm able to like talk to them directly about things that are challenging me. Everything from like, how do I chat with a client about this specific thing, you know, or like how my schedule and my to-do list are affecting like the actual creative output that I'm putting out there, you know, and they also continue to help me challenge like views that I have of myself that aren't necessarily accurate, you know what I mean? Or don't have to be that way, you know? So like everything kind of layers on to like what happened before it, you know what I mean? And it continues to like shake and reform, you know, your potential in these areas.
Right. Continues to evolve.
Sure. I add one quick thing that Tim made me think about in this whole conversation. We've had this kind of distinction between coach, consultant, and mentor. And I think Tim brings up sort of a fourth category that is super important, but it's less official, and that's influences. Right. I because when Tim was talking about that professor, it made me think that in my MBA, I had less of I felt less influenced by maybe the professors in my program. Like maybe I wasn't as close enough, but I remember doing a project for an entrepreneur. It was just part of like the MBA experience. Like I reached out to this entrepreneur. I did a small project for him, and just his very like unofficial guidance, just talking to me about what he did and giving me some insights and just being around someone who cares enough to share with you what their experience is and give you some advice in an unofficial capacity. I think actually the aggregate of that in my life, the you know, this video setup I have, like Parshall, like it wasn't like I was like, Parshall, I want you to mentor me so I like can have a better video setup. Like it wasn't like that. It wasn't an official capacity. I just was like, yo, your video looks amazing. What do I do? And you like, you know, just generous enough to give me some, you know, a little bit of time and attention to like figure out how to set that up. And Tim's been instrumental in it with my lighting and my background and all that. So like it's been a combination, and Sarah on a regular basis continues to help me make my website copy better. She helps me catch typos, like just all sorts of things. Everybody brings their unique ability. And the aggregate of those influences, I think, far outweighs any coach, consultant, or official mentor that I've worked with over the course of my life. All of those little influences, I think, are actually my greatest source of growth in my career.
I often joke that I started my business in my car because I was listening to podcasts and just dreaming and thinking. And those people who I do not even know or have had conversations with influenced me so much. And I learned so much from them. But I spent a lot of time listening. And I think at some point you listen enough, you start really absorbing, and that becomes your reality.
I love that. I love that. Now, let's actually start to wrap this up. What I'm loving and what I'm hearing from our conversation today really is the importance of emotional intelligence, especially when we start talking about like knowing how to navigate between the three roles we've talked about, coach, consultant, and mentor, and then the introduction of a therapist and how to distinguish that. But what's most powerful for me too, and even with our conversations, is the fact that it feels incredible to have this amount of support. Like Jeff, what you brought up in terms of influences and just people that are in your corner unofficially, how amazing that feels to be supported as entrepreneurs, considering like that we're kind of sometimes feels like we're doing this alone, but not really, because we have such a team of people, official and unofficial, paid and unpaid, that support us. And I think we're way more supported than we give ourselves credit for and that we acknowledge, you know what I mean? So, and then also being in this role too, I know that for me, having transitioned to being more of a coach and a mentor, it is like fulfilling as like pie. I don't know what else to say. It just feels incredible to help other people and to be a part of it, you know, because when you think about the cells in a body, you know, the cells that thrive the best are the ones that are supporting, you know, they're giving to the other in the body, you know, and then that cell is supported and grows and becomes stronger. So the more we're able to do that, I think is really powerful and neat. So I want to ask one last question about this topic, and then we should be able to wrap it up. So that question is, out of those three roles, mentor, coach, and consultant, which one do you identify the most with or is your favorite? And through that role, what is the number one thing that you want to create in the world?
Ooh, big question. Good Lord.
If you could just one word, it didn't have to be like, you know, a whole dissertation, but like, what's the role that you identify most with and what is it that you want to create in the world in that role?
All right. I'll go first on this and then turn it over. The role that I identify most with would be coach. And that's primarily because, consultant, I don't think necessarily gives me enough, influence and impact with people. I want to be in the ring. I want to be involved in the game that people are playing and I want to see them succeed. And I think as a consultant, I don't necessarily have I'm always involved, but I think as a consultant, the conditions aren't quite the same. Whereas as a coach, I feel personally invested in every one of my clients' success. So even when I'm consulting, I still feel like I'm coaching, because I'm intimately involved and I'm constantly giving and trying to improve each party that is on the team that I'm working with. So coach, definitely. And in terms of the impact I'm trying to make, obviously as the founder of the Superhero Institute and a real life superhero, I'm trying to change the world for the better. I'm trying to make it kinder, safer, more equitable. And the way I'm doing that is by the people that I coach, I'm trying to encourage them to look for their most empathetic and compassionate self. I'm looking for them to look for how they can make the biggest and most positive impact on the world. So no matter who I'm working with, whether they sell, you know, cookies or whether they're like, you know, an agency or whatever, like my hope is to encourage them to always make the decisions that are on Team Human, that make the world a better place and that create as little harm in the world as possible.
Mm. Love it.
Tim, Sarah, who's next?
Yes,
who's next? Sarah, go. I'm not ready.
Okay. So I am a coach. I definitely identify with being a coach. I think what Parshall said about being an instructor as well and helping people with a transformation is what I'm really passionate about. What I am trying to accomplish is helping people to love what they do for work. So they have, so they can really accomplish more during the day, enjoy the work more, and then still have time at the end of the day for the people that they love. Because it is just, we spend so much time working. It's important that we're really enjoying that. But at the end of the day, I think we've learned this in 2020, especially that friends and family mean more than anything. And so freeing people up to have the ability to enjoy that time a little bit more is really my mission.
I love it. I love it.
We were talking, I guess, a little bit about, you know, what's the difference between like somebody's doing the deliverables and somebody's who's like consulting and advising. I do consulting work, but most of the time that consulting work is paired with actual deliverables. And I definitely, over time, the more I do consulting, the more I'm like, oh, I'd almost like rather do consulting than creating all these deliverables, like for every project. So I guess definitely consulting in general. As far as like how I want to, how I would like, I'm sorry, I scratch all that. I changed my mind right now. I think I would lean more on mentor period because of everything I just said. I really like working with people who are trying to figure things out for themselves and like who they are, what they want to do, what they're good at. And I think most of the best aspects of me working with other people is a lot of times when I'm not getting paid for it and I'm actually helping people figuring out like who they are. I think that's where I'd put myself and helping people be like just overall like more healthy and fulfilled and optimistic.
I love that. For me, it's definitely a coach. When I think back to when I coached high school sports, I was teaching, you know, the basics. I was teaching, you know, the fundamentals. I was also getting them ready for the game. Then I was coaching during the game. I played with them too. So that was always really fun. None of my players could beat me to this day. Like some of them tried to challenge me after practice. I'm like, come on, bring it. Let's go. And I almost lost once, but the point being was that I played with them. So it was really interactive and we were in it together. So coach definitely is for me. And I just want to create more, I'm going to make up a word like Grant. I would want to create more good enoughness that we feel in ourselves. So that would be that. So thank you guys for joining us. I don't think we have enough time to hit what you're into, not unless somebody has something that they're into really quickly that they want to just share. I don't think so. But anyway, you guys tune in next week. What are we talking about next week? I don't know, but.
Next week is the year-end wrap-up. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to talk about a little bit how I like to end my year and also how I like to go into the next year. So it's tips for people who want to have a more productive 2021. I've made a number of changes since probably like 2013, 2014. I've been refining the end of my year process and beginning of the year process. And I hit January like a rocket. So I want to share what I know there, talk to you guys about what your end of the year routine is, what you do at the beginning of the year, how you get yourself set up. Are you a resolutions type person? All that sort of good stuff. And I think that we'll touch on habits. We'll touch on all different sorts of stuff. But that's what our next episode will be. And then we're off. After that's the last episode of 2020, and we'll see everyone again in 2021 after next week's episode.
Also, don't forget something really important for next episode is we're all going to unwrap the gift that Jeff got for us, and it's going to be really exciting.
It's going to be a Superhero Institute sweatshirt or t-shirt, which, by the way, Parshall, you looked fantastic. Oh,
thank you. I'm glad I got that color.
Yeah, it looks really good. It pops off the wall. All right. I love you guys all. See you on the next episode of the Council. Glad you were here.